Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, you've tuned in to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Let's get going right away. We've got cannabis news and politics international. Let's go. From our first article, we've got wantedinrome.com. The Italy cannabis referendum faces right-wing opposition. The prospect of Italy holding a referendum on decriminalizing cannabis was at risk on Wednesday after the right-wing Lega and Fratelli d'Italia tabled a suppressive amendment aimed at scuttling the move of a 630,000 people signed petition, cannabis referendum. The two parties attempted to block the progress of a petition in favor of the referendum on liberalizing the use of cannabis, signed by more than 630,000 people, arguing that the government should not have granted campaign organizers a one-month extension to collect additional signatures. However, the motion was rejected by the center-left Partito Democratico, the populist Movimento 5 Stelle, and the Liberal Europa parties. The center-right Forza Italia, an ally of the Lega and the FDI, chose to abstain from voting, reports Italian newspaper Il Fatto Quotidiano. The referendum would propose to legalize the growing of cannabis for personal use, prison sentences for selling small amounts of the drug. The attempt to obstruct the passage of the referendum was described as shameful by Vittorio Baldino of the M5S, while Riccardo Maggi of Plus Europa quoted, "The gravity of Lega's parliamentary initiative is disconcerting." Guelita Pini of the PD wrote on Twitter that if the petition had been blocked, the 630,000 signatures would have become invalid, preventing the country from expressing itself. Activist Marco Capato of Luca Coscioni Association, one of the groups behind the cannabis campaign, slammed the move as attempted sabotage, and while his colleague Marco Perduca warned, the coup is foiled for now, thanks to those who voted solidly against it. Background to cannabis petition in Italy. Over the course of a week in September, weed advocates gathered 500,000 signatures, the threshold required to trigger a public vote in Italy, in a petition calling for a referendum to liberalize the use of cannabis. The avalanche of signatures was boosted by a recent law allowing people to sign online via Italy's digital identity system, SPID. Marijuana groups behind the campaign were then given an extra month to gather signatures, while the 30th September deadline moved to October 31st before submitting the petition for approval by the Supreme Court of Cassation, Italy's highest court of appeal. Activists say that legalizing cannabis would free up the criminal justice system by ending unnecessary trials for small amounts of the drug, as well as boosting tax revenues for the state, estimating this value at around 7 billion euro. Campaign organizers say there are 6 million recreational cannabis users in Italy. And the debate in Italy goes, in 2019, the Italian Supreme Court ruled that the domestic cultivation of small amounts of cannabis for personal use was legal. However, it remains illegal to sell and grow cannabis plants on a large scale. Marijuana has also been permitted for medical purposes since 2007. The cannabis debate is a source of division. Coalition government of Mario Draghi split generally among right and left lines, the Lega FADI staunchly opposed. If the cannabis petition is accepted by the Supreme Court, it will be sent to the Constitutional Court to assess whether the law would comply with the Italian Constitution. If the petition is successful, the president of Italy will set a date for the referendum, likely to be in early 2022, according to Italia media reports. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Next, we have from the EdmontonJournal.com, it's not just discarded joints. Human feces might also be getting dogs high and sick. Quoted, it is possible that weed in feces increases its attractiveness for ingestion by altering its scent, texture, and or taste. Dogs' noses are remarkable things, with their sense of smell said to be about 40 times greater than that of most humans. But those blue ribbon noses can lead pooches down the wrong path and sometimes nose deep in human waste that contains cannabis and its psychoactive compound, THC. The Los Angeles Times reported one such incident this past September. Taking her sluggish Chihuahua Terrier mix to the vet, the owner was told her dog was stoned after apparently sniffing out a chocolate edible near a softball field. Kim Kardashian's hairstylist said her dog was left non-responsive and stiff the morning after eating a cigarette-tainted weed. Australian researchers believe their review of 15 dogs with cannabis toxicosis sometimes revealing itself as depression, general lethargy, excessive salivation, and difficulty walking after pets ingest marijuana, quote, describes a novel and unexpected source for the condition in dogs. And that unexpected source appears to be human feces containing suspected THC. Investigators suggested a reason these dogs might be drawn to eat human feces. Quoted, it is possible that the presence of marijuana in feces increases its attractiveness for ingestion by modifying its scent, texture, and or taste, noted per Marijuana Moment. After reviewing records from 24-hour veterinary emergency hospitals in Melbourne, Australia, they found 15 cases from 2011 to 2020. Note the case report published online in Australian Veterinary Journal. Among the dogs included 13 ataxia, uncoordinated abnormal movement, and mydriasis, larger than normal pupil size, 5 with hyperesthesia, increased sensitivity to a sensory stimulant, 4 had urinary incompetence, 3 had stupor. Animal is unconscious but can be roused with strong external stimulus. All dogs survived to discharge. While urine drug screening shows 8 dogs were positive for THC, confirmation that the dogs had ingested human feces was based on owner witnessed ingestion or the presence of fecal material in the dog's vomit, study authors write. There was no surprise, though, about where the exposures are thought to have occurred. These were typical pet haunts, such as local parks, beaches, campsites, and walking trails. Email response to Marijuana Moment, author Clara Longinger made clear the findings should not be read as meaning any level of THC is toxic in dogs. For the dogs in the case study, amounts and THC concentrations are unknown. That said, quote, veterinary staff and owners should be attentive in regard to using appropriate hygiene measures when managing these dogs, notes the study. The American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals reports that cases of cannabis-exposed pets could go higher with moves by more states to legalize adult-use weed, per the Los Angeles Times. Indeed, the group's Animal Poison Control Center saw a 765% jump in calls for pets eating weed during the first few months of 2019 compared to the same period in 2018. In BC, this past spring, veterinarians at the Fairfield Animal Hospital in Kelowna said more than a dozen dogs were brought in over Easter weekend after showing signs of THC consumption. They reported that since the outbreak of COVID, there have been about one, sometimes two visits per day. Notes information from the VCA Animal Hospitals, quote, not all pets follow a single pattern of intoxication. A small amount may affect one pet more than another, so there is no official safe level of exposure. Among other factors, toxicity differences will depend on age, health status, and body size. Global News, Dr. Alistair Westcott, Medical Director of Mountainside Medical Hospital in Vancouver, reported earlier this year that dogs have 10 times as many cannabinoid receptors in their brains. That means cannabis exposure effects are more severe and more toxic than they would be for people. A Canadian study released this past spring, one in which investigators considered dog weed poisoning reports in the United States, also offered a caution. There were significantly higher odds of a call being related to cannabis in states with lower penalties for cannabis use and possession, investigators write, pointing out, quote, the odds of these calls were high in counties with higher income variability, higher percentage of urban population, and among smaller male and intact dogs. That suggests results highlight the need to educate dog owners about safeguarding cannabis products from vulnerable populations. Thank you. You guys are listening to Smoke News Radio. Dogs have 10 times the cannabis receptors than we have. Read to you by Jason Brodsky. We have from MajorCADailyBulletin.com, six arrests after hundreds of animals are found in terrible conditions in Malacora. A joint operation between the Guardia Civil, the National Police, and Palma Police was initiated by the National Police's Narcotics Squad. Operation Star concerned suspected marijuana and hashish production at a farm. The arrests were made on Thursday after police raided the farm. Intelligence gathering prior to the raid led to the realization that there were hundreds of animals in terrible conditions. The Guardia Civil's Soprona Division, which deals with animal welfare, was therefore brought into the operation. Kilograms of marijuana and hashish were seized, and two marijuana plantations with 400 plants were dismantled. Illegal electricity supply connections were discovered, as were all of the animals. Soprona officers were assisted by vets from the government's agriculture ministry and by a vet who specializes in animal behavior. Together, they identified and verified all the animals and arranged for many of them to be moved to an animal sanctuary. Their poor condition was due to overcrowding, poor sanitary conditions, mutilations of cutting of the tail and ears, breeding in inadequate conditions, harmful to the health of puppies. Many animals showed clear signs of disease and of poor welfare. Among the animals which were taken away were 40 American bullies and 50 cocks. Other animals remain on the farm as they do not have disease and have not been mutilated. These include moor cocks, a pony, Vietnamese pig, and a piranha fish. Investigators are seeking to determine why there were all these animals and what their uses were, as well as animal abuse. Those arrested have all been charged with a crime against public health, drug manufacture and trafficking, and with electricity fraud. Next on Smoke News Radio, like, what are you growing more than marijuana? From RFERL.org, Serbia's jailed medical marijuana users seize on double standard for reputed kingpin. Advocates of medical and recreational marijuana use are accusing President Aleksandar Vučić and other Serbian officials of a double standard after he defended house arrest for an alleged drug baron accused of cultivating the banned weed on an industrial scale. I just want to say that sentence again. He defended house arrest for an alleged drug baron accused of cultivating the banned weed on an industrial scale. Vučić recently called the public outcry over Predrag Kuluvija's release from pretrial detention amid an ongoing trial for growing more than a ton of illegal cannabis, quote, very strange. Quoted, because he didn't kill anyone, or there's no indictment that he killed anyone, he didn't have 10 tons of cocaine or something like that. But as far as I understand, a ton of marijuana, which half the region, the Germans and others, has legalized, that he also denies that he had, said the president, told TVPINK on October 2nd. Kuluvija's two-year-old case has greatly expanded since the suspected narcotics baron was reportedly stopped for reckless driving while flashing police-style lights and in possession of a police ID, eventually leading authorities to 65,000 marijuana plants and hundreds of kilograms of dried cannabis on his farm, which is called Johanvika. Predrag Kuluvija After repeated delays, the Yovanhiga case expanded in March to include a second trial involving an alleged protection ring of colluders that extended to police, intelligence, and military intelligence officers in Serbia. Koluviha is also said to have at least indirect ties to a local politician in Croatia and to operate a cannabis business in North Macedonia. To many, including local investigative website KRIK, Koluviha's case has been characterized by political influence from the start, including pressure on judges whose circumstances already invite questions about commitments to justice, former Yugoslav Republic. To others, it's evidence of influence peddling, the crony capitalism in a region where organized crime and its political tendrils undermine political faith in democracy and the rule of the law. Belgrade-born Dragoljub Mudrić has been a poster boy for legalized marijuana for years, including on socialist media. Now, the 58-year-old epileptic who says he uses cannabis to prevent seizures has publicized his request for a presidential pardon to criticize a seemingly sharp divide between the haves and have-nots in an aspiring EU member state. After Koluviha's transfer to house arrest, Nuhordić appeared at a press conference on October 15th, organized by Social Cannabis Club Belgrade, which is behind an initiative to legalize cannabis in Serbia, and National Association Cannabis Growers to demand legalization of medical marijuana and decriminalization of marijuana possession. Mudrić quotes, "I'm waiting 3 years in prison for 88 grams of marijuana." Kuvic says, "Only had a tongue." Hey man, that's a baseball hat. Has resisted the possession of marijuana. Offenders can be sentenced to up to 10 years in prison, depending on the amount, with significant time added if it is part of an organized criminal behavior. Serbia's neighbors have chosen various approaches to treating the possession of marijuana, with exceptions for medicinal use and decriminalization more popular than legalization. In EU members Bulgaria and Romania, its possession is punished although Romania has allowed a medicinal exception for nearly a decade, among other ex-Yugoslav states in the bloc, Croatia decriminalized small amounts of marijuana and allows medical marijuana for certain illnesses, and Slovenia has decriminalized it. North Macedonia has permitted the sale of medical marijuana since 2016, and it is available in pharmacies. Bosnia Herzegovina has technically been exploring possible legalization for years. It is illegal in Kosovo and Montenegro, while a ban in Albania is rarely enforced. Mirjic says he is only demanding the kind of access to medicinal marijuana that is afforded to patients in an increasing number of other countries, including Germany, some United States states, and Canada. He said this month, "Why is my guilt?" as he awaited word for his request for a postponement of his summons to begin a 3-year sentence at Zabela, citing his wife's and brother's poor health. Then Mijic directed his comments to President Vučić, quote, "I don't know why I was convicted, and as you yourself say, cannabis is nothing, and it is legal in Germany and the surrounding region. I want same treatment as my colleague, a pensioner from Canada, or as my colleague from Bonn." The Serbian president's office did not respond to RFERL request for a statement on Vučić's position on cannabis exemptions for medicinal use. In December, the United Nations Commission on Narcotic Drugs removed cannabis from the category of most dangerous narcotics, allowing for more lax enforcement. But Vulin, the interior minister and a longtime Vučić ally, who as labor minister in 2015 visited Kolohiva's farm, said in May that there were no plans to legalize marijuana, and criticized local media for misinterpreting the United Nations Commission decision as giving a green light for a dangerous drug. Vulin quotes, "And the nonsense that we've heard about how we'll retroactively legalize marijuana because of Johan Vika, that's nonsense. There's no retroactivity in law." Adding, "Not only has it not been decriminalized, but we will punish it even more severely." Two indictments have been filed in the Johavik case, which represents one of the biggest drug cases in the country's history. Kohorica and 9 other defendants who were employed at his farm in Stara Pazova in the Vojvodina region north of Belgrade are on trial in connection with the marijuana cache in a process scheduled to resume November 10th. The new indictment arose in November 2020 and was finalized in March. Accuses Kolvika and eight other individuals, including members of police, National Security Information Agency, and the Military Intelligence Agency, in connection with a related protection racket. Kolvika's defense lawyers have argued that the plants found at Hohanika's farm were industrial hemp, which is legal in Serbia. Earlier this year, the European Parliament approved a report by its rapporteur for Serbia, Vladimir Bilic, in which the Hohanika affair was cited among the cases a high level of public interest, in which European deputies urged Serbian authorities to deliver convincing results. All right. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. That is quite some last names. Sorry, just come on. I'm a Brodsky. I'm supposed to be able to pronounce European names really well. I got Brodsky down really well. But it's different, like, pronunciations. I'm working on it. Here we go. You're listening to Smoke News Radio. Okay, great. Just a few little moments. From the Texas hemp industry. Oh, yeah, they're celebrating over there. It's a party. No, don't burn that side. You got to make sure you burn the proper side of the joint. You know, you're like, all right. Obviously, a bong with the water would be better for my lungs when speaking. Because the herb in Northern California is drier than in Central America. Still good. Everything's drier here. Drop the humidity. Okay, so what do we got? All right, next, from Smoke News Radio, a little CBD and a THC-enhanced Jason Brodsky on the microphone. We've got from TPR.org. Texas hemp industry celebrates signals coming from the DEA over Delta 8. Agency is telling state regulators that only products containing more than 0.3 Delta 9 are considered controlled. Carla Harold operates Carla's Hempwire on FM 1774 in the East Texas town of Mongolia. She called those signals from the DEA good news for the industry. Quoted, "I believe it's great. I believe it's going to help us all survive out there. It's one of those things that helps me survive, even though it's not my main source. I do think it's going to help other people survive like me who have other things to sell." She said Delta 8 makes up only a small part of her sales, but customers who do use it tout the pain relief it brings. Said the signals coming from the Drug Enforcement Agency also takes away another kind of worry by hemp shop owners. It will allow us to not be afraid to put our product back on the shelf without fear of being arrested in Texas. Harold said she sells many regular CBD products, including edibles, water solubles, topicals, smokables, and dog treats. Harold's store had only been open a few weeks when retailers were forced to take Delta 8 products off the shelves. Earlier this month, a Texas judge blocked the State Department of Health Services from listing Delta as a Schedule 1 controlled substance. The judge's ruling said the state did not adequately notify retailers. The state was expected to appeal the decision. Like Harold, most retailers did not receive an advance notice that the substance was moved to the list as of October 15th. Delta 8 has been sold openly in Texas by retailers who say it is legal thanks to the Farm Bill in 2018, which states the cannabinoid must be derived from the hemp plant, but must not contain more than 0.3% Delta 9 THC, active ingredient in marijuana. All right. That's from the TPR newsletter. Next on Smoke News Radio, with your host, Jason Brocci. I appreciate you listening tonight. We have from, or tonight or morning, or at the time you get to hear this, the magic time it may be, from thebostonglobe.com. Marijuana, an utter failure. Law meant clear old convictions, including marijuana possession, helps few. The Boston Globe. When state legislators passed a criminal justice reform bill in 2018, Massachusetts residents won the ability to clear away certain criminal records, including convictions for marijuana possession and other now legal activities that can make it difficult to land a job, rent an apartment, and otherwise move on with life. But 3 years later, only a fraction of those who are likely eligible for relief have had their records expunged. Massachusetts probation service data suggests that people who were previously arrested for, charged with, or convicted of a crime submitted just 2,200 petitions to expunge their records between January 19 and July, of which 350 were eventually approved by state judges. Of those 352, probation officials could definitively identify only 17 related to marijuana, a statistic they first began tracking partially in January. While the state could not say exactly how many people are potentially eligible for expungements, advocates insist the pool runs into the tens of thousands. For example, there were about 69,000 civil or criminal violations for marijuana possession issued in Massachusetts from 2000 to 2013, and 8,000 arrests for selling or possessing marijuana for each year from 1995 to 2008, according to Cannabis Control Commission research report and the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU analysis, the cannabis charges are only one of a number of past incidents can be wiped clean under the law after enough time has passed. Critics attribute the low number of expungement to restrictive eligibility criteria, a lack of outreach to former defendants, disorganized state records, and a lengthy application process that ultimately gives judges wide latitude to reject even seemingly qualified requests with little explanation. Quote, Katie Naples Mitchell, our expungement statute has been an utter failure. An attorney at Harvard Law School's Charles Houston, specializing in criminal justice policies, we could be helping people on a much grander scale, but instead we're seeing this paltry piecemeal effort, and even that has been almost totally frustrated, in part by a bench that is often a lot less progressive than the legislation it's charged with carrying out. Whew. The 2020 law bars the expungement of violent or sexual crimes, clearly any offense committed after the age of 21. And importantly, it prohibits anyone with more than one entry on their record from obtaining an expungement, unless the other offenses are motor vehicle violations that result in a fine of less than $50. The only exceptions are special circumstances, such as mistaken identity or conduct that is no longer illegal. As with marijuana, which together accounted for just 298 attempted petitions, it also makes former defendants responsible for learning of the expungement program, determining their eligibility, tracking down the relevant records within the state's patchwork of police and court filing systems, and submitting them along with a petition to the state probation department. Probation officials reject the vast majority of expungement petitions they receive, about 79%, as ineligible under the law, suggesting there is widespread confusion among applicants about which charges can be cleared. If an application is cleared by the probation department to go before a judge, the office of the district attorney who originally brought the charges is then given a chance to object, even when prosecutors endorse a petition. Judges can still reject an expungement request on the grounds it would not be in the best interest of justice. Attorneys for the former defendant say judges have used that clause to block dozens of otherwise eligible requests. The authors of the 2018 law counter that courts are set up to handle individual cases, not mete out justice en masse. They also note it has helped thousands of people by making it easier for them to get their records sealed as opposed to expunged and permanently destroyed. Sealed records are preserved and can still turn up on background checks conducted by law enforcement agencies and certain employers, such as those involved education or child care. Courts are designed to deliver individualized justice for technology. Bill State Senator William N. Brownsberger, a lead author of the 2018 law. Quote, when you try to apply it to implement global solutions or generate global data, unfortunately, it isn't built well to support that. Brownsberger added that he is most concerned about cases in which federal law enforcement officials fail to fully delete records that have been expunged at the state level. For their part, court and probation officials said the law only requires them to process petitions they receive, and besides added, the scattering of old legal records among antiquated and mutually incompatible state databases used by different agencies, a problem the 2018 law was intended to address, with little apparent progress to date, means it would be nearly impossible to identify potentially eligible former defendants or provide a more fulsome accounting of the expungements that have already been granted. Jennifer Donahue, spokeswoman for the state's court system, said in a statement, the trial court does not currently have the technological capability to perform data tracking or affirmative notification process for expungements. It is not the role of the trial court to notify individuals of their rights, as we are neutral arbiters of the law. Still, advocates are rallying behind bills that would put Massachusetts on par with other legal marijuana states, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, and New Mexico, that plan to automatically expunge thousands of old misdemeanor pot convictions at once. And the issue is set to get a high-profile review in January when the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court is scheduled to hear an appeal of a rejected expungement petition, according to the petitioner's attorney and Naples Mitchell, filing an amicus brief in the impounded case. Oh, it's awesome. Well, okay, Massachusetts is pulling it together. Yo, Matt. Thank you, everyone, for listening so much to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Really appreciate you guys checking in with me. And be careful with your marijuana and with your pets, marijuana in all sorts of places. So do be careful. And we're going to have Jack Johnson take it away, maybe in a moment, if we got this right here. Yeah, so you log in here, log in there, you know, yeah, keep busy, keep it going. It's Smoke News Radio brought to you by Jason Brodsky and the 2016 California Cannabis Hemp Initiative. Hemp initiatives may come and go, but the activists do live on through spirit, as we've got many right now holding it down in so many different parts of the world. Support your local activists.